This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That is the phrase that pays.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've never asked this rhetorical question on a Wednesday. So, are you ready for some football?
That's Joe Hayden into the end zone.
Trace McSorley to Hollywood Brown.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. San Francisco 49ers CEO, Jed York. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer of Peacocks, brother from another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, Hour 3 version, on this Thursday. In case you missed the first 2 hours, that's what we've got our YouTube page for, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. That's what we've got. Let me get this right. Right here. There you go. On the Peacock bar. You just find the sports tab and you hit it, and then you can watch our show on demand whenever you wish. If you're watching on NBC Sports on Peacock right now, we also re-air on the standalone channel. We take you to Brother from Another every day here on the standalone channel. And Michael Smith will be joining us at the end of this hour to take us to his show. Help us take us to his show. We already had Albert Breer on the show from the MMQB, Sports Illustrated. Jed York, the CEO of the 49ers. We're still in this mix at 5-6, man. And they are going through quite a 2020 season, and they are in Arizona right now where they will be hosting the Bills on Monday Night Football. And then after that game, they will be staying put and hosting the Washington football team. Talk about big back-to-back games for San Francisco. And then they will be staying there and practicing all week in advance of their Sunday night game at the Dallas Cowboys, hoping that after that game they can head home and practice. They might have to go back to Arizona and stay there. And they are staying there because they're visiting the Arizona Cardinals at week 16. But they're still 5-6 and still in this mix. And joining us right now to talk about everything going on in the NFL, maybe even especially the NFC, which is the Fox is the home of from NFL on Fox. And one of our favorite humans, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Howie Long. How are you, Howie?
I'm good, Rich. How are you and the family?
Yeah, we're doing well. We're doing a lot. I mean, you're past the age of the kids being at home. We're doing the home Zooming, the homeschool Zooming. We got a lot of that going on.
Yeah, Chris is doing that too, and it's a challenge. It's a real challenge.
I'm sure, Richard.
Particularly when you've got a 4-year-old and then you have a 2-year-old and That's who they're around.
But they FaceTime you, right? They FaceTime you and Diane,
God,
right?
Yeah, thank God for FaceTime.
Right? It's the greatest thing for grandparents.
It's like, beam me up. But could you ever imagine a world where we could still remain so close in a really challenging time? It's been a godsend.
So let's talk about this season, which has been technically, you could also say, a godsend for sports, obviously, that we're 12 weeks and we're through it. With 5 more weeks to go in this regular season, I have got like one big shrug emoji, to use another 21st century term, when it comes to the NFC and the best team within it. I'll give you the floor on this one, Howie. What do you got for me here?
You know, I like New Orleans, and Green Bay. I think it's a better matchup for them than it would be for a team like Tampa Bay, who's so physical. And, you know, we saw what happened earlier in the year, and it was almost kind of a carbon copy of, you know, the two trips out to San Francisco. And, you know, there was another game mixed in there against a physical team where they came up short. Aaron is playing at such a high level. I like the head coach, and it's that whole group of young coaches who were on the Washington staff under Mike Shanahan, and you know it's not the same offense, but it certainly has elements in each one of their offenses that look very similar. You know, the pre-snap motion, the jet sweeps, the play action pass, all that. My question with New Orleans is, you know, Taysom Hill, you know, who you love as a football player. Big, physical, athletic. We had heard, you know, a year ago that Taysom Hill, when Drew moved on, was going to be the guy. And And then obviously they make the signing in the off season, you know, and if, with Jameis, and you know, the assumption was, well, that's the natural
yes, right.
kind of succession. And you know, maybe the best thing for Jameis is spend time with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and you know, the maturity level goes up and the acumen goes up and all that. And we had heard a year ago that it was going to be Taysom Hill, and I said, there's no way. I mean, how could that be possible? He's still yet to throw a touchdown pass.
That's true.
It's true. But, you know, I think the real test comes, Rich, when, you know, you get down early in a game and you've got to climb back into it, and you can't do it with, you know, the kind of offense they're running now. But I think Sean has looked at these other, and Sean is so creative, and you know, just watching what they do offensively, it's so fascinating to watch. I think he's been looking at these other offenses and saying, "Wait a second, I've been doing this for 15 years with a stationary quarterback," and you know, and it was that team that kind of brought on the value of the interior three in the offensive line because of Drew's height. And I think other teams have kind of copied that formula to a certain extent, but I think he's looked at other teams and said, you know, I see what San Francisco's doing, I see what Green Bay's doing, I see what these other teams that are, you know, running all these kind of wild formations and pre-snap motions and jet sweeps and all that, and let's see what I can do.
Well, I mean, you know, and I think though, Howie, the real challenge might come this week. Because the real challenge is facing a team that's already seen him before, and Atlanta has. And I know
Atlanta's the southpaw that nobody wants to fight.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, it's like you know, if you could explain Atlanta to me, it's mind-boggling. You know, they're a team that can just, as we saw last week, unfortunately, light you up, and then they can lay an egg. And you know, New Orleans sacked him what, 8 times, and you know, I think that defensive front, you know, looks at that on the calendar and says, that's a 3 sacker for me.
I know, and that's why the Saints might be, you know, Super Bowl worthy, is the way the defense is playing. But you know, it's one of those, I don't know, and I know that the defense had its day against Atlanta 2 weeks ago, as you just mentioned.
But
now
been,
long,
but Rich, that's been coming with their defense. Their defense is, you know, I think they had communication issues. I think in some ways they, you know, they started slow, particularly on the back end and somewhat up front, but they got players back, and you know, we forget that defense was pretty good coming down the stretch last year, and I think they've kind of stepped it back up, and you know, but once again the question becomes, what happens when you're down in a big game? You know, maybe not this week, but maybe down the road, and maybe it's in the, you know, divisional round, or, and hopefully for them, the NFC championship game, where you're down and Taysom needs to, and maybe you get Drew back.
Yep.
That's, you know, that's the question. I mean, I didn't know you had that many ribs.
That's Howie Long.
I mean, my God, you know, and the funny thing was, and you know, as a player, players know this.
Yes,
I saw his face and his body
right.
language when he got up. And I know that feeling. That feeling is, if you're great, you don't know how to tap out. You can't look to the sideline. That's just not what you do. And that was the realization in his face and his body language that I'm really, 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 really hurt. I mean, and how hurt he was, we didn't know. And how tough is Drew Brees?
No doubt.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's not, you don't necessarily think Drew Brees tough. You know, that's, you know, we kind of give that title to other quarterbacks. But I got to tell you, he moved way up on the list. He made a quantum leap up my list.
Howie Long here on the Rich Eisen Show, Fox NFL Sunday analyst, Pro Football Hall of Famer. All right. Well, who are the Raiders then, too? I mean, I think they're a playoff team. I think they've got thumpers all over the place from the back end of the defense up front. Max Crosby's a real deal guy, I think. We all know Josh Jacobs is top notch if he can stay healthy. Derek Carr's been he's been remarkable this year. And then this last week was is that you throw it out? Just say that's an outlier? Or what do you think about the Raiders here?
I think they have to. And I think that's important that they do. Their fullback's been banged up. I mean, Josh Jacobs is, you know, if you don't like Josh Jacobs, you don't like, you know, football.
Right.
He's just a guy that, you know, runs like his hair's on fire. And, you know, he does not run away from contact. And, you know, he's not 100%. And, you know, we could go to the offensive line kind of, it's been, you know, Baskins and Robbins now serving 42, you know, and it's who's at right tackle, who's at left guard, who's at left tackle, you know, the constant, you know, constants have been for the most part center and the right guard, but beyond that, that's been about it. You know, our boy Mike,
yes,
you know
indeed.
That picture of the president when he goes in office?
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 to 8 years later, the picture of him when he goes out of office. I'm telling you, Mike could look like Rip Van Winkle, you know, in a year or two here. It's tough. And you know, you add to it, and we all kind of take it for granted what the teams are going through with COVID and restrictions and practice and, you know, the 1 week where the entire offensive line was quarantined till Saturday. You don't know if you're going to play. You don't know if the game's going to be rescheduled. And it wasn't, it not only wasn't rescheduled and moved back, it was moved up, which that one's a hard one for me to explain. So I think they have to throw this one out. I think they have to be more discipline on the back end. You know, as you mentioned, they have some thumpers back there that like to hit people. And, you know, sometimes getting people on the ground or being in the right spot is as important as, you know, the kind of wanting to hit someone. And they're getting healthier in the defensive front. And they've got to play better on defense. And that's been the story all season long. Offensively, I don't know what the deal was. They looked horrible last week, and we've all had games like that as a team where you just kind of, you know, you look at the film and you move on, and that's the best thing you can do. What this week tells me, you know, I want to see how they respond this week, and that will tell me a lot about the Raiders.
Well, they also have a nice get right opponent in the Jets. I got Howie Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. Talking about the Raiders just right there. And the Raiders, without a doubt, played the Chiefs better than anybody else has been playing the Chiefs all year long. They got one on them.
Look at the wins.
I know.
Look at the wins, Rich.
I know. They've got some quality wins. There's no doubt about it. And the Chiefs, you know, lost one, and the Raiders could have easily swept them, but the Chiefs are who they are. And
Hey, Rich, anyone who thought it was a fluke up there in Kansas City, they walked out of that stadium thinking we were lucky to get out of here.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, and like I said, I like the Raiders. That I'm just I will just throw that last week out and see how they can do. You know, as for the Chiefs, they are even with a team above them in the standings because the Steelers are undefeated. I think the best
it's
team
like
in the
time
NFL.
Travel, Rich.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we got in one of those things. I don't know what it is where you shut the door and suddenly you're in 2040.
The DeLorean.
That's what this offense is. They are frightening. I mean, and here's the thing that makes them all the more scary. You go back to the first Raider game, and Andy, you know, who loves to throw the ball, and, you know, that's ironic because Andy's an old offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to throw the ball. And he said after that game that he didn't put his players in position to be successful. I didn't give them the opportunity to be successful. And what he meant by that was the run-pass ratio was so out of whack. And, you know, we've become so one-dimensional. I think the Raiders played coverage and, you know, kept everything in front of them. And as we found out last week, you know, particularly with Tampa Bay, the one thing that you can't do versus Kansas City or can't allow are those explosive plays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who made the decision to single that guy is, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. But, you know, I look at the next week when they came back after the Raider game and they ran the ball over 40 times
yep.
for over 200 yards.
Yep.
And you say to yourself, oh, my gosh, if they ever, you know, and to their in Andy's defense, he closed out the Super Bowl that way. You know, running the football. But if they have that kind of balance, what do you do?
I don't know, because you're talking about that game against Buffalo where they just came in and then kind of ran three or four of the same plays right at them and jammed the ball down their throat. And speaking of getting into DeLorean and going into the future, Vic Fangio went a little bit on the way back machine today, the head coach of the Broncos. That's who the Chiefs are playing on Sunday Night Football. Howie, Vic Fangio said that Elway was kind of the Mahomes of the 80s and 90s.
I agree.
You'd agree with that?
And Chris and I talked about it. You know, it's like people don't understand. John was the hardest guy to pass rush against because the tackle can overset you if you're outside. And if you go wide on the guard, if you're inside, if there's any kind of a gap, he's taking it, particularly down, you know, in the red zone. But on third down, you know, like let's say a third down and two, Chris was looking at a play where it was third and two, and, you know, Mahomes drifted to like, you know, it's usually a 3-5-step drop and it's 5 yards and, you know, whatever the number is. He drifts to 16 and drifts to his right or to his left. And makes a 25-yard throw for a first down.
With a flick of the wrist.
You can't – the ability to – what he forces you to do defensively is be so stagnant. It's like we have to press the pocket. We can't rush the quarterback. You have to be able to get there with four, and that's the key, because you have to play covers versus this team. And you have to do it really smart. That's the key. But John was – just like that. That tackle would invite you inside, and if you took an up and under, John would burst out to his right, throw the ball across the field 70 yards.
Now, put it all together, though, I'm going to ask you the ultimate question here, Howie, because I mentioned this on NFL Game Day morning last week on Sunday, that before Mahomes was taking on Brady, that in order to match Brady in terms of success and longevity, he needs to win. He needs to go to 8 more Super Bowls and win 5 of them in the next 18 years to win as many Super Bowls and also play as long as Brady. And Brady would be, if he does that, Brady will be 61 years of age on that day. So my question for you is Mahomes set up to be the greatest of all time? Or is that really ludicrous to even suggest, despite how great he has looked so far?
Well, I think he's a guy that, you know, some guys, it's, you say some quarterbacks who, you know, move around and what kind of hits are you taking? It's like Russell doesn't give you a clean hit.
Right.
For the most part, the kid in Arizona doesn't give you a clean hit. Cam, and the problem with Cam was, and still is, you ever walked up on Cam, he's all of 6'6", 6'5". And for him to get from vertical to horizontal quickly is a challenge. That's number one. He has to limit the number of hits and be smart and not allow that to happen. Number two is they have a tremendous supporting cast.
They sure do.
Around him at wide receiver, at running back.
Tight end.
Tight end. You know, Kelce's a Hall of Fame level tight end. If they can continue to – I think maybe the most impressive thing about New England and what they did and what Brady did was you looked at them on paper and you know, and on film, and you go, eh, it's okay. But they're so – they were so well-coached, so disciplined, and Tom was such an extension of the head coach and the kind of style that they won. And you think about all the Super Bowls they won. What's the average winning total of each Super Bowl they won? It's like 3 points. They won close Super Bowls. It's not like they were blowing people out. The more that Kansas City over the years surrounds him with talent and can show that they can, listen, they came from behind in every playoff game last year, yep, 10 or more points down.
Maybe the last time we see that, though, Howie. You know, I think to your point here, because Andy Reid's not going anywhere either. He's in his early 60s, you know. So they have a shot here. Like, I think legitimately he has – we're already treating him in the media like Michael Jordan or somebody of that ilk in the way that, why would we give him MVP when, you know, he's already been there and done that? Let's kind of spread it around to people who haven't gotten
it. I don't know. MVP's that's a complicated conversation, and it's – well beyond my pay grade.
Right, but he has a chance, I think, when it's all said and done, to match Tom. It's entirely possible.
He certainly is the guy that you look at, but he's at base camp too.
Is he?
Okay.
Yes,
so,
he is. Yes.
So, look, it's one thing. A lot of people have fallen short just before the summit.
Yes.
On 1 year. Think about what Tom did and think about what New England did.
It's crazy.
We will never, I don't think we're ever going to see it again. I don't. It's too hard. It's just too, and you know, it's not a game like basketball or baseball where, you know, you got a little hamstring tweak or something. In football, we see it every week, Rich. People go down every week. And it changes the dynamic on a football team and maybe the dynamic or the trajectory of their season.
So last one for you, Howie. I know we've been on a while, but just a couple minutes left here if you can. Because it is a very thorny subject. Do you think Tom Brady and Arians and this offense can pull it together in a more consistent manner? And you mentioned defensively, you know, going single on Tyreek Hill, and they gave up 200 yards to one player in just one quarter. Do you think Tampa can pull it together and become Super Bowl candidates when it's all said and done?
I like their defense a lot. I like Todd Bowles a lot. I think they made a mistake in the first quarter. And obviously that's, hey, you know, duh. He had over 200 yards in the first quarter. Think about that. He had over 200 yards in the first quarter.
Yes, that's happened.
That's illegal. They should have arrested him right there on the field. I mean, that you shouldn't be able to do that.
Nice.
So, you know, I think moving forward, you know, they end up losing 27-24.
Yes.
And Kansas City gets the first down and runs out the clock. I like their defense. Offensively is really where the Rubik's Cube is for them. They have all the pieces. They really do. They have some injuries in the offensive line, which are concerning. I wish they ran more play action. I wish they had someone who's more like maybe White in New England, or, you know, he's had, like, you know, through, we talked about Tom's kind of run in New England. How many running backs did Tom have in New England? But running backs that not only could run, but were great out of the backfield and the screen game and play action pass and all those things that they don't do. And the other part in New England that was reassuring for Tom was, Tom wants to know where you're going to be on every throw. Exactly where you're going to be. Not 2 yards this way, or maybe he thinks you're going right, you're going left. I believe they have options in their routes for the receivers. I'm not, you know, specifically sure about that, but that's what I've heard. That's not... At some point, I think, you know, everyone needs to get in a room and say, what do we need to do to get this thing right? And this is a team that can win the whole thing.
Sure,
it really is. And people say, well, you know, week to week, it's fodder on TV that has Tom fallen off a cliff. It's, you know, and it's minute by minute almost. It's a joke. And you know, Tom looks good to me. Tom looks fine to me. It's, they need to be in sync. And that was always the question down there. We knew what Bruce's offense looked like. Bruce's offense is throw the ball down the field. You're going to throw some interceptions. You're going to take a lot of hits. That doesn't work for this quarterback. If you brought this quarterback in, you have to adapt to him. and you have to adapt the passing game to him. And it would certainly help your offensive line out to run the football and run play action pass.
How are you, the man? Thanks for the call. Great chat. I always love when we get together. Best to your awesome family. Happy holidays in advance, and maybe in the playoffs we'll get you on the line.
Yeah, likewise, Rich. Good talking with you. Stay well.
You too. That's Howie Long, the best. Love that guy, man. Football royalty, the whole family. Fantastic. Lots to chew on right there. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. People have been staying on hold. We'll take them. 844-204-RICH. We're taking you to Brother from Another at the top of this hour on NBC Sports on Peacock. And Michael Smith of that program will join us to help take us there later on. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats. Hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. RichEisenStore.com, everybody, everybody. Hey, everybody. I normally see this in my email inbox. Maybe I missed it. Playoff scenarios.
We got some.
NFL playoff scenarios, week 13.
Yeah, we got
they
a couple.
They figured it out back at the old shop, huh? Back at the old shop.
Yeah, so three teams have a scenario for this weekend.
Three teams have playoff scenarios for this weekend. There I have got it.
All right.
I've got it. I got to get through the list of who's playing poker tonight. I'm one of them.
You got room for one more?
We might. I don't know if you're ready for this deep end of the pool, Christopher.
Oh, man.
Rich, you assume.
He said you're not that advanced, bro.
That's not that. All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, we got playoff scenarios.
What do we got?
All right, Kansas City Chiefs can clinch a playoff spot this week. Surprise, surprise. Win on Sunday Night Football. Win on Sunday Night Football, they're in.
Hey.
But not as a home team just yet.
Oh.
Just they'll get, I guess, the X.
One of the spots.
Well, X is clinch playoff spot.
X is in.
Y is division clincher. Z is the whole shooting match.
Overall, right. Number one.
I don't know why. Whoever came up with its XYZ instead of ABC is the same person who's like, it must be in the hunt, not sniffing it.
Ugh. Okay. I'm so used to us saying sniffing it now, so when I see other networks say in the hunt, I'm like, come on.
How do you think Game Day Morning producers feel when I use the word sniffing it on national television every Sunday?
Well, they should recognize.
If Vegas somehow, someway, football gods decide to choose this being the day that the New York Jets win their first football game of 2020, making me very miserable. But if the football gods decide Vegas loses, Chiefs would clinch the AFC West with a win on Sunday Night Football. There are many other scenarios where Kansas City ties and gets the playoff clinching berth. And the ultimate partridge in a pear tree, if Vegas, Baltimore, and Indianapolis all somehow lose in Week 13, Kansas City can clinch a playoff berth by losing Sunday night as well. Pittsburgh Steelers, if they win against Washington football team on Monday evening or Monday night or whenever they have them play, to use the Mike Tomlin phrase, they clinch a playoff spot. There you go. They can clinch the AFC North with various other things. I won't even go into it. And the only team that can clinch a playoff spot in the NFC this week is New Orleans. If they win in Atlanta, and then the Chicago Bears and Mitchell Trubisky was announced as a starter, right? Lose to Detroit. Oy, oy, oy. Can you imagine the Lions with their interim head coach come into Chicago and win that game? what that would mean?
I can't imagine.
Okay. if that scenario happens, Saints win, Bears lose, Saints clinch a division, a playoff spot. Don't ask me why.
Are the Cowboys 14 there? Or?
Cowboys are not even sniffing it.
Okay.
They're not even on the screen.
I wasn't sure if we missed them or
they would be 14 at 3-8. Yes.
Sniffing it.
Yeah. But sniffing it is, you're not in sniffing it if you're sniffing your division lead. You're sniffing it if you're sniffing the wild card, and they're not sniffing it. That's how far away from the aroma they are.
I thought it was about sniffing the butt, the basement of your division.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Sucking.
That's it.
Not Mike Del Tufo, folks.
Well done.
So great.
Well done. Jason Feller has been making liberal excellent use.
Gosh, I mean, Del Tufo's getting wally pipped, man.
Hey, Rich, you know, speaking of liberal today, the way you and Albert Breer, two guys from two places that do not like each other, and
yes,
I know there's animosity and hostility.
Right.
The way you two were able to come together this morning, right?
Well, again.
And put aside your differences for the greater good. I feel like America needs to, like, work on that. The right and the left, the libs and the conservatives. Like,
I think so.
Put you and Albert as someone to look up to.
That we both feel animosity towards each other.
But
right?
you let
that
go.
No, but for the sake of the Big Ten, we come together and say this is what we should do to get the best team that, you know, passes the eye test in the Big Ten eligible to play for the league championship.
Yeah.
So they could be eligible to go win it all on behalf of the Big Ten, you know.
And I know you two were great.
It's the same thing
as
left and right in America getting together for the sake of the country and democracy.
But they don't do it. So we need to look at you guys as like.
Well, and I like this analogy because Big Ten is America in this analogy. It just means more to us.
Of course.
I've never brought that up with Greg Sankey. Maybe next time he's on. When we're through the COVID nightmare. When we're through the COVID nightmare.
Who came up with that slogan?
When Greg Sankey, who's too busy running America right now as the commissioner of the SEC, asking him at one point, kind of the same look. I'll give him the same look that I gave Liz when she came out here yesterday handing coffee to everybody, and I didn't hear her, and she said, hey, I'm getting coffee, who wants? And I thought she put me on the pay no mind list the same way that I wound up on the pizza no mind list here. And I kind of gave her that look like,
What gives?
Like, I could say, Greg Sankey, like, that whole it just means more thing a few years ago that your conference used as its slogan. Are you saying it doesn't mean as much to me as a Big Ten guy? Is that what you're saying? I should have said it to him when I sat next to him at the Super Bowl.
Looking back.
He came up with that during his 26th marathon he was running.
Nice. I like that guy. Even though it didn't get off on the very right foot between the two of us, he doesn't remember. We're sitting next to each other in the commissioner's suite at the Super Bowl.
Was that when you were next to Urban Meyer, too?
Well, I was behind Urban Meyer.
Right.
And he pointed out to me how many SEC players were on the field and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but who's the quarterback of the Patriots right there? What do you got for me right there? Who's that guy? Okay.
That was the Rams? Patriots-Rams?
Yeah. Patriots. Who's that guy? Who's that guy on the field, number 12? All right.
Thomas J?
You know? By the way, I don't know if he's watching our show. He loves – he does tell me he watches us every now and then while he's probably working out next to his Dungeons & Dragons room. Joe Manganiello texted
me. Did he shave his head?
He did. Yes. He's part of the – we should get him on. He's part of the Brotherhood
now.
Yeah,
he joined the Brotherhood.
Oh, I'll call him. I say he's got to come on tomorrow.
Yes, but in three months, it's going to be
illustrious. Doesn't matter. Right now, he's with us.
Yeah.
Before he's against us again.
Amen.
Is he your official poster child now?
But Manganiello did, in fact, shave his head.
I saw that.
I guess in honor to try and be like Bubbles, the dog, his little
chihuahua.
His bald chihuahua. Yeah.
Well, it was blue for a second.
Yeah, I know. Right? But at any rate, I guess we're not the only ones totally fascinated by this new sound drop. He texted me during the commercial break. I sent it to the fellows at home to turn around. Us sucking. That's all he wrote. In all caps.
Us sucking.
And we've been talking about this.
We have been. All day.
Steelers fans, you are so lucky. Joe knows. Joe knows what's going on.
Yeah. Not like Uncle Buck's people.
Let's go to Jimmy in Palm Springs, California. What's up, Jimmy? You there, Jimmy?
Oh, hey, Rich.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going? Yeah.
What's on?
Hoping to call on behalf of the world's team, if you know what I'm talking about, DJ.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Cowboys?
No. No. That's how Steelers fans refer to it. Yes, they refer to their team, the world's team. What do you got?
So, you know, I'm a Steelers fan, and I went through that transition from Cowher to Tomlin. And I'll just give you an abbreviated timeline. Tomlin gets there early on. It's easy, fall in love with him, wins the Super Bowl,
yep,
and almost gets back immediately. But then the drought came. And so as a Steelers fan, you know, the ups and downs of having good seasons and being one and done, you alluded to it earlier, the 8-7 in the playoffs.
Yep.
That was tough to go through. So then last year, when all of a sudden we were going through this 8-8 mess, and a local hometown boy just so happened to be in the media for being available as a head coach from Greenfield, a little community in Pittsburgh, Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy was all over the media, and I was all over that bandwagon saying, get the hometown guy.
Oh, my.
He knows how to coach the QB. I'm serious. This is the way Pittsburghers think. And so
insanity.
I was all over it. I was so obsessed with it. And then the Cowboys pick them up, and I go, well, Cowboys, they're going to win the division again. They'll be great.
Smash cut boy, to this present day, huh?
Jimmy. My last name's not Rooney. That's all I can say.
Well, Jimmy, I'll just say this. Don't fall for that banana in the tailpipe anymore. This guy is going into the Hall of Fame. He is dynamite. He is, in the 21st century, the exact coach you want, you need on that wall. Knows the facility, knows the organization. They know him. He knows the city. He knows exactly what he is doing. I understand it does not work out in the playoffs and hasn't for quite some time. I get it. But at least you're there. At least you're there.
I do. I absolutely love him. He's fantastic.
You should.
I was just a fool.
Imagine. Hey, coach, your wide receiver just pulled up in a Batmobile that went 120 miles an hour last night. We might not have him this week. Hey, coach, you know, your running back's going to be holding out. Hey, coach, that whole thing you said about Belichick, that was out on Facebook Live. Hey, coach. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on.
Well, that was the thing.
On and on.
Lost the locker room for a little bit there, well, you know, with the AB stuff and those things. And you know, that was just all. We were just all building up this case in our head.
No,
it was just the fullest.
No, I get it, Jimmy. And also, you know, while we're on the subject here, I totally understand. You know, when you think you've got this is the year to beat the Patriots, and it's like Groundhog Day, to use a Pennsylvania phrase. And I understand. Yeah. Like, and I think when Tomlin's, I guess, if you will, what did we determine it was with Kyle Brandt? Nadir? Okay. The bottom of it all was when he stepped on the field with Jacoby Jones running that ball back against the Steelers with the Ravens. And we're all like wondering, like, what is going on with Mike Tomlin? Who is that guy? Because that's not the guy that we've known. And we were all wondering what is going on with him. And what's going on with him is there are bad seasons, but the Steelers know what they're doing and they stick with the right people. And he's going to have a bust one day. Get ready, everybody.
You know, I love him. The standard is the standard. I love the Tomlin drops. You know, he's all a famer.
Thank you for calling, Jim.
I was a fool to doubt him.
Sucking.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you. All right, let's get one last one here on the program, and then we will have Michael Smith join us to take us to his show. Kyle in Wisconsin, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kyle?
Nothing, Rich. How you doing?
I'm eager to hear what's on your mind.
I have a suggestion for a DK Metcalf nickname that might actually stick, because I'm with Brockman on saying that the human chunk play just isn't going to go.
It's not going to go. All right.
I'm afraid not.
All right,
so
Kyle.
I got a couple caveats to it. There's a list of things that I think he's earned. First off, team's vengeance is pretty high on his list of things.
Yes.
Second, that if I was to pick any person in the NFL to take on six or seven people in an alley by himself, okay, I think he'd be the guy.
This is a big, just so you understand this, and I know I'm drawing it out. This is a big setup, Kyle.
Yeah.
Certainly since you're saying mine is substandard. So I'm just letting you know the buildup is huge.
Come correct.
Yeah.
I know I'm bringing a lot to the table here, but yes, the final thing is,
oh boy,
overcame an injury, a significant injury, and yes, was able to come back.
Yes.
Stronger than ever.
Yes.
I think the Dark Knight is pretty apt for DK Metcalf. He's
right,
pretty much Batman.
Okay. He's got the human bat suit.
Yes.
He's all about vengeance.
Exactly.
He's all about coming from, adversity.
Yes.
Right? Although Bruce Wayne has got a lot of money. I got it.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Well, DK is about to have a lot of money.
Yes, he's about to get his aid. I agree with you. Okay. Thank you for the call, Kyle. Well done. Setting it up and then echoing Chris Brockman. Is he a Brockman clone?
Oh.
Was that a Brockman clone? Was that your first clone?
Crack him.
The DK initials just make it too easy.
Yeah.
Have you seen that anywhere else? Did you come up with it? Let's be honest. Because I hadn't seen it anywhere else.
I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I don't remember.
It's not the first time I've heard it. So
yeah, I mean, I've heard it around.
I'm saying you've said it to me before.
Yeah, first time I've mentioned it here on the air.
Dark Knight Metcalf.
Just the Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
Because we tried that with Matt Harvey. Didn't work out.
It is available.
So, you know, it's back on the market.
Well, we'll know it's not fitting if at any point in time DK Metcalf comes on this show or Dan's and says that he's paying fealty to Qualcomm. Then we know that's a problem.
Maybe the worst interview of all time.
Don't say that.
Well, I just mean in terms of a guy.
Because Dan handled, Dan made, Dan, if you give Dan Patrick, if you give him, if you place a steak in front of him, he will know how to serve that up, a piece of filet mignon. He could see it. He can sense it. He can know it's coming. But he didn't know that was coming with Matt Harvey. I know the Danettes and Dan would be able to speak to this better. Is that a top five? That's got to be a top five Dan Patrick show moment. When Matt Harvey said, "I'm just here to talk about Qualcomm," right?
Gosh.
And it's just like, hey, man, like, you know.
Dan's like, yeah, I know. We'll get
like,
to this.
The way it works, Matt, is Qualcomm makes you available. We say yes to having you on, not so you could talk all about Qualcomm. It's to talk about everything except Qualcomm. And then me, as host of show, gives you a platform, a portion of the conversation.
To
Qualcomm.
Right.
And then that's it. Dan, shut it down. Oh my gosh.
Shut it down.
So, reason why I bring it up, if DK Metcalf comes on this show and wants to talk about Qualcomm, then Dark Knight does not fit because it didn't work for Matt Harvey.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay.
All I know is Mike Tomlin could be coaching the Steelers right now after that phone call, and now I'm all upset. Steelers fire him, they get McCarthy, then we get Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, the Rooneys are not falling for the banana just because Mike McCarthy once was a toll taker in Pittsburgh. Let's blow out Mike Tomlin after an 8-8 season that's as good as any of his 13-3 seasons.
A toll taker.
You know? Yeah, it's a nice story. He's from here.
Yeah, sure.
Now he's yours.
Thanks.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Michael Smith, when we return here on the Rich Eisen Show, to take us to his show. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Knee surgery, which is good news because there was a lot going on in that knee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's good news right there. Every day, Pro Football Talk kicks off our day, 7 a.m. Eastern time. Dan Patrick Show, Rich Eisen Show, Brother from Another, and Michael Smith will join us in a second. They handed off to Florio again at PFT PM. Hey, did you see Sirius XM Channel 211 is the NBC Sports? NBC Audio.
Oh, nice. I didn't see that.
So
is that a rebrand?
It is that, sir.
Okay.
Rebrand.
It is that.
All right.
Nice.
You know, Channel 211.
NBC Sports.
It is that. Audio. Now, do you name a channel audio, or is it just understood? It's like NBC Sports on Peacock Stream. You know what I mean?
That's a good question, Rich.
NBC Audio is what it's called.
Okay.
Just in case you're not, you know,
make a note.
You don't believe your ears. That's what I'm saying. We're excited to be there every single day. What? What are you giving me this look for?
Nothing. I was waiting. Well, we're close to coming back.
We're back on our radio.
Oh, okay. Can we hit the polls with Michael Smith?
Sure. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to do that.
All right, let's do that.
We haven't really done it, and he's here, so just kind of like, you know, cross-pollinating.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, great.
I mean, not a problem. Is it makes contentious? It sound, we should have a segment where we talk to each other where it sounds contentious. Yeah. Fake contention. All right, then.
Okay,
fine.
I'll ask him.
Do you have a poll?
I do. I have two.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Great.
Run
Who's
it.
Got the best chance to
no,
beat?
No, not yet. I haven't introduced Michael Smith.
Well, I was just going to get right to it.
Brother for Another coming up right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Great to have Michael Smith back here. How are you, Michael?
I don't want to interrupt you.
No,
I'm enjoying it. First of all, Rich,
yes.
I agree. Audio on satellite radio does
yes.
feel a little redundant.
That's okay,
I mean, if we're allowed to say that, I'm with you. You know what I mean? It's obviously audio.
But we're glad to be there. It doesn't, you know what I mean? There may be an I in Michael, an I in Smith, an I in Rich, an I in Eisen, but we are team players, sir. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely. But no, that's exciting. So Sirius 211 today. That's
it
exciting.
It is.
I wish I could have been in the same room with you guys. Just now. I just wish I were watching because I'm on on the phone, a good old-fashioned landline.
Yes.
But that was hilarious just now. So I hate to interrupt, but good to
no,
be here.
No, it just came up with a new segment. That's what we do here on the show is we use the live
live
on-air content. Fake contention. You know, we'll do that.
I feel you.
Coming soon to a show near you. All right, ask the poll questions because I do believe they do dovetail into some of the topics that Michael Holly
and Michael
Smith
are
about to
discuss. Yes, so we got one NBA, one NFL, Michael. Perhaps you heard LeBron re-up with the Lakers. So did Anthony Smith. Who's got the best chance to beat them in the West? Clippers, Mavericks, Nuggets, nobody.
I'm going to go with nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with nobody.
36%.
Yeah, I think the only thing that can stop this team this year is stating the obvious injury, or since it's 2020, some kind of COVID craziness.
Right.
I can't remember. I've been racking my brain trying to remember a defending champion that was as good as the Lakers were. As much as people try to take away from what they did because it was the bubble or because, certain teams like the aforementioned Clippers didn't handle their business, or in the East, Milwaukee didn't come out of the East as many expected with the two-time MVP. As much as people tried to pick at that title run, they were a really, really good team, headlined by two first-team All-NBA future Hall of Famers, two of the top five players in the NBA right now.
Well, I think if Clay hadn't blown out his Achilles, we would have thrown the Warriors in there, and that would be the choice.
Well, there you go.
You know?
But then they come back, and they get younger and better? I mean, who does that? You know, so I have a hard time seeing, and the Warriors would have made it interesting, Rich. I'm with you. If the Warriors could have come back in full strength and added a James Wiseman, it would have been nice to see them square off, for Western Conference, if not NBA supremacy. But no, I don't see anybody knocking off the Lakers, not this year, not anytime soon, because I think LeBron is going to be the first player that I can remember, maybe since Jordan. I don't have Jordan's career stats in front of me, but I don't think he ever dipped below 20. LeBron will never average below 20, and if he does, it'll be because he decides to average damn near 20 assists. So I read an article about his mortality and the reason why he signed the extension, and I get it because he's, wants to make sure he gets all his money before the end of his career, but mortality is a relative term when you're talking about LeBron James. So this team is about to go on a serious run and make that age-old debate MJ LeBron that much more complicated.
Well, how about this twist on the MJ LeBron conversation, Michael Smith? How about this? Is that LeBron has beaten Jordan in one way, and that is setting up the end of his career scenario the way that he has set it up to win championships in the spot where he wanted to be, and Jordan had to feel compelled to just leave for a second time. Like that Jordan did not have in Chicago, at the end of his career in Chicago, the ability to keep the coach that he wanted and have the players around him that he wanted and win more championships because that's what he's all about. And LeBron, obviously Vogel is just his coach. I don't know if that's his choice or not, or that he's demanding it in the same way that Phil was obviously for Michael. But LeBron's set up. He is set up in a way that Jordan, I think, wishes he would have been at the end of his career in Chicago.
Funny you said it. I'm still a Jordan guy.
Me too.
But I'm over trying to debate them. But it's funny you say that because the number that jumped out to me yesterday after this extension was that by the end of it, he will have earned LeBron $435 million over the course of his career, most all time. Goes without saying that he's still underpaid. And frankly, for the first, 12 years, first 12 years, I don't believe he was the highest paid player on his own team. But I love where you're going there, Rich, and actually I was thinking about that today myself. I marvel at the mogul on and off the court.
Yep.
And the manipulator, the master manipulator.
Yep.
That LeBron has been throughout his career. I put it to you like this. We can debate whether he's the best player of all time. But nobody, maybe in professional sports history, has ever played the game. And by the game, capital T, capital G.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever played the game better than LeBron James when you want to talk about the moves he's made as a philanthropist, as an entrepreneur, as an entertainer. And to your point, roster construction, moving from organization to organization, constructing his contracts to maximize his leverage over the teams as he sees fit, helping you know, his good friend and fellow mogul Rich Paul and Maverick Carter establish an empire with Clutch Sports and Uninterrupted and so on and so forth. We can go on and on. It's just incredible what he's been able to do on and off the court in terms of just the business of basketball and sport at large.
Right, and set up himself for the end of his career and set up a client of Clutch Sports in Anthony Davis.
Right, and change his legacy.
Right, and then, you know, Clutch Sports is, I mean, you want to talk about he has wired the board. He has wired the board.
And then he'll play with his son to kick
yes.
it all off.
Yeah, because that's when his contract is up. So he will be able to go wherever he wants, if that's what his son wants and that's what he wants. Unless, of course, it's the Knicks, then he'll tell them to go pound sand. But other than that, you know,
right,
it is truly amazing what it's all done. So you'll talk a little NFL and obviously the Russell Westbrook, John Wall, I guess, in the light of what we're just talking about here with LeBron and the Lakers, the way I started the show, is that that's just rearranging the deck chairs pretty much. But we'll just see how that all does work out when it's said and done. You know,
it is, but it's interesting, though.
Oh, no doubt.
Like some,
no doubt.
Sometimes you can rearrange furniture and it looks like a whole new crib, you know. And it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know I had this much space. Or like the light hits the room differently
from here. You are right.
I mean, I'm fascinated by it. I don't know if we realize what we've witnessed with this trade, which is it's unparalleled in many respects. So I think I read this on NBC Sports site. Mm-hmm. It's only the second time two players – with five All-Star appearances each have been swapped for each other. The other time was Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. So both these guys, while polarizing, are clearly productive. Obviously, there's injury and health questions with John Wall. But what I'm fascinated by is just the ripple effect, because not only does it, like you said, rearrange the deck chairs, and the Wizards look a lot different and the Rockets look a lot different, but it also has a domino effect and a ripple effect when it comes to, okay, does this satisfy James Harden, who seems hell-bent on playing with every star in the NFL before his career is done? Does this satisfy Harden, and how does this affect his trade demands, his reported trade demands? Or does he end up in Brooklyn anyway at some point, right?
Right.
And on the flip side, the future of Bradley Beal is very much in the balance in Washington.
You know what, when you think about
Bradley
it, Michael,
decides not to stay, does he go and form a super team type thing with somewhere like Miami? Who knows?
You know what? I do like the way you've just rearranged the furniture. I got to let you get to your show. I'm sure your producers are saying, where is he? So go sit down in that chair, and we'll see you on NBC Sports on Peacock in less than a few minutes. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate y'all, man. Y'all take it easy. Thank you.
You got it. That's Michael Smith.
Be good.
Fun chat right there. Brother from another, Michael Smith and Michael Holly. We will take you to it right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. For those of us listening on the radio, thanks to Albert Breer and Jed York and Howie Long and Michael Smith. We will see you on the radio on Friday. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.